got it written for him.
Understanding the ways of God. Or trying anyway. The wise in heart will realize. Now pay close attention. God can be understood. And that this understanding will lead to things that cannot be understood. That again. The wise in heart will realize God can be understood, and that this understanding that you gain will lead to things that cannot be understood. Nor can remedies be manufactured by the power of man to understand. If you desire to follow God's ways, he will bring you to a place where your understanding and strength no longer have an effect on your condition. You know, we love the sun, you know, and we know how far the sun is from the earth.
33 million miles.
We know the temperature. Right? We know its circumference. We know so many things about the sun. But what you don't hear about the sun, how is it made? It's a reality of life, isn't it? The sun. It's a reality. It's not a figment of anybody's imagination. How did it come to be? See where I'm going here? There are things that we understand, but to get a deeper understanding, we can't understand. Only the Creator knows. A powerful example of this in real life is found in Exodus chapter 14. Children of Israel. You know, the Bible tells us that the things that were written for our examples, for our learning. And so we do well to learn. Now, I've shared some of this before, but we're going to build upon it. Exodus chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Now, the little background, quick background, the children of Israel had come out of Egypt. They came out with great substance. And the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back the camp by Pi Hahiroth between Midgol and the sea. Camp there along the shore across from Baal Zephon. Now this is God speaking. Verse 3, Exodus chapter 14. Then Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will chase after you. Now, look at this. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there. So God had a plan. What was his plan? But there was another plan also that God had. Because God wanted to show the children of Israel. Now, understand this. The children of Israel, they didn't know God. Think about it. They'd been in bondage for 400 years. They had no prophets. They had no impartation. They had nothing but something that they had been told through their father Joseph. All they knew was idols, false gods. They didn't know God. So God brought them to a place where there was no way out. And you, and as you continue to read, have you brought us here to die? It would have been better for us to stay in Egypt, you know, because they didn't see any way out because they did not know their God. And as you continue to read the story, Moses, of course, they crossed the Red Sea, and the Pharaoh chased after them, and they got across, and then the waters came in and destroyed the whole armies of Pharaoh. Now, let's go back a little bit. Understand this, that Israel's freedom was God's answer to their cries. They had been crying for freedom. They didn't like being slaves. They probably didn't know, how did we get this way? 400 years. That's a long time. Our country isn't quite that old yet. But listen to this. Exodus chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. Now therefore, this is where Moses seeing the burning bush, and Moses went up to see what that's about, and then God spoke to him, Moses, you know, take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. Who are you? You know, I am that I am. But verse 9 says, now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. And come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So God was responding to their cries, as we see here. He heard them. It's time now. It's time. Write this scripture down, Psalms 103, verse 7. This is a David speaking. He says, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. So, I want to read a little bit from Exodus chapter 4, just to show you what did that mean? That he made his ways known unto Moses. So God says, I'm going to send you, and you're going to go back there. Now, why was Moses in the land of Midian in the first place, in the desert? He was on the lam from Egypt because he killed an Egyptian. And so God is sending him right back where he came from. But Moses answered, this is Exodus 4, verse 1. Moses answered and said, behold, they're not going to believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared to you. You know, so here comes Moses. Here these people for 400 years have had no input from God, no prophecy, no vision. God had never showed up and did any miraculous thing. And then here's Moses going to come and says, the Lord appeared to me. They're not going to believe me. And the Lord said unto him, what is in your hand? And he said, a rod. He said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. And Moses, he jumped back, basically. And the Lord said unto him, put your hand forth, take it by the tail. He put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand again. Wow, this is interesting. And then the Lord said to him, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the Isaac of Jacob, has appeared to you. He says, and now says the Lord furthermore unto him, put now your hand into your bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And it, behold, it turned again as his other flesh.
What is a bosom?
It was like he had like a tunic on, you know, and so he just shoved it inside, you know, inside in between the cloth thing, like, you know. And he said, it will come to pass, if they will not believe nor hearken unto you, and these two signs. And now this is interesting. You remember the first sign that Moses did was turning the blood, the water into blood in the rivers. But God had another thing in mind similar for the children of Israel if they didn't believe these signs. And I didn't never seen this before. He says, if they don't believe these two signs and they won't hearken unto your voice, take water out of the river. Get a picture of this. And the water which you take out of the river will become blood upon the dry land. So basically he said, take scoops of water out. If they don't believe the snake and the leper's hand, then take some water out of the river, drop it onto the land, and it'll be like blood. I go, oh, I've never seen that before. But from what we see in the scriptures, he didn't have to do that. But that was a miracle waiting to happen. So it says that God showed, he made his ways known unto Moses. God's ways were the ways of miraculous, the ways of power, the ways of supernatural, beyond our abilities. So now, the children of Israel were freed by their God as they asked for. Here's the problem. They had no relationship with him. They didn't know him. How could they trust in somebody or that they didn't know? Moses, yes, came and did the miracles, but they didn't know that God was faithful and true. They didn't know that God was all powerful. They didn't know that God could do the impossible. They didn't know how that God loved them with an everlasting love. To them, they felt unloved, uncared for, and they cried, "God, where are you? Deliver us!" But God's always on time. In Exodus 19, we see where Jehovah God personally introduces himself to the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. And he shows them his purpose for their future. Do you remember what God had said their destiny was? We talked about this once. Here's Exodus 19, verse 5. Now, it was prophesied that they would inherit the land, a land flowing of milk and honey. Okay? It was prophesied that God would go before them and they would drive out the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Amorites and all the Ites.
They didn't have a destiny.
Huh?
They didn't have a destiny, did they?
Yes, they did. Exodus 19, verse 5. It says, now therefore, this is God speaking, introducing himself to the children of Israel. It was at Mount Sinai that he gave the Ten Commandments, remember? Introducing himself, thunder and lightning and earthquakes. Now therefore, this is Exodus 19, starting at verse 5. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, that means I'm making a covenant with you. If you do, I'll do this and you do this. If you keep my covenant, listen closely, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nations. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. In verse 8, and all the people, we know what happened to the children of Israel, right? But all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Their destiny was to be a separate people from all nations. Their destiny was to be the light of the world, bringing all nations to God, being that. It wasn't, we understand the Levitical priesthood, but in all truthfulness, God's original intent was that the whole nation be priests and kings. Everyone, not just a select family. That was their destiny. Their destiny was not inhabiting the land filled with milk and honey. That was an avenue by where they were going to get to their destiny. See, and you have heard me share this before, by them inheriting that promise, that's where they failed. So they never got to their destiny. Now we read in, I think it's 2 Peter, we're peculiar people, a royal priesthood through Christ. That peculiar means exclusive. Okay, let's go on. David writes in Psalms 81, verse 13, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and that Israel had walked in my ways. We know that even though they said they would, they didn't. Because of one problem. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures and then we're going to move into that. Jeremiah 9:23 says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. What did we learn last week about knowing? Knowing somebody is like what?
Intercourse.
Knowing me deeply, relating with me. I have a relationship with you. What's that?
You have to explain intercourse to my daughter.
Intercourse is an old word that was used as like if you look at course, the word course, you know, it is a flow, like the river courses through the land. Inter means introspective. And so it means inner. And so the idea is that if Joe and I have a heart to heart, meaningful conversation, deep heart to heart, a brotherly love, deep conversation. We have had intercourse.
Yeah.
Intimacy. Yeah. And what we understand is the intercourse, you know, between husband and wife is intimate also. And so, in fact, we understand in the scriptures, and we shared this the other day, that it says Adam knew his wife, and she conceived. So he had inner relationship, he had intercourse. Now, that was a sexual relationship. She didn't conceive by just talking. but that is the depth of the relationship. Jesus is going to, there's a few scriptures where Jesus said, I'm going to say unto them, I never knew you. I don't know you. And there is, I never had a relationship with you. It was all surface. They were never intimate. So, but let a person glory that he knows me and he understands me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. Psalms 128. Verse 1, a song of degrees. Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, that walks in his ways.
Which one was that?
That was Psalms 128, 1. Isaiah 40, verse 25, out of the International Standard Version. To whom then will you compare me? And to whom should I be equal? Asked the Holy One. Lift your eyes up to heaven and see who created all these. The one who leads you, who leads out their vast array of stars by number, calling them all by name. Imagine how many stars are out there? Billions of stars? God says he calls them by name. Because of his great might and his powerful strength, and not one is missing. Jacob, why do you say, and Israel, why do you complain? My predicament is hidden from the Lord, and my cause is ignored by my God. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the eternal God. Bless you. The creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow tired or weary, and his understanding cannot be fathomed. And one more scripture here. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. You can't.
That was 11 what?
Romans 11:33. So what is it that God was looking for in the children of Israel? What understanding did they not obtain? The answer is in actually Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Hebrews 4, 1, it says, and 2. Let us, you and I, therefore, fear, or be reverential, be cautious, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. Oh, we're studying about rest, haven't we, Ben? Should any of you seem to come short of it, for unto us was the gospel preached, as it was, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
Mine says, But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe can enter his rest. As for others, God said, in my anger, I took an oath, they will never enter my place of rest. Which is true. I've never seen a joyful, peaceful, restful person who isn't in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
I used to hang out with a lot of yogis, and they had a lot of false peace, and they were miserable. You know, there was no peace.
So this is a mystery. We are living and experiencing what they called, what the Apostle Paul called, the mystery of Christ. Romans 16:25 says, now unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the beginning of the world. So, children of Israel didn't have a relationship with God. So God says, okay, I'm going to introduce myself. Okay, they're going to get a crash course. A crash course into Godism, okay? First thing happens, well, they've seen all the acts of God. They've seen the miracles that happened, the blood in the river, everything, the water turned the blood, all the plagues that hit Egypt, everything that happened in Egypt, but where they were in Goshen, it didn't happen. It didn't touch them. That was a miracle in itself. The locusts that come, you know, they go everywhere, but they didn't go to Goshen. We see that now in Kenya and Ethiopia, this plague of locusts. It's everywhere, but it didn't go to Goshen. All the animals died in Egypt, but the animals in Goshen didn't die. So God's ability, God was showing his ability to keep you while things around you are going on. So then they leave Egypt and they get backed up into the corner. God's plan, he planned it all to show them, I can do the impossible. You need to be able to trust me. All through their time in the desert, they run out of water. Where did water come from?
The Nile.
The rocks, you know. They ran out of food. Where did food come from?
Heaven.
You know, heaven. Yeah, he brought quail and he brought manna. God kept them. You know, we see that it was a cloud by day in the desert and a pillar of fire by night that was leading them. Miracle after miracle after miracle. But it says that faith, their trust in God, was never developed. We know what the scripture says in Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, they that come to him must believe that he is a rewarder of those that seek him. Diligently seek him. Now, what is faith?
Believing in things unseen.
There's one little step towards it more. As though it is. Believing in things that are not seen as though they are. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So even though you don't see it, you believe that it is there. That's faith. Now, so every one of us, and now let's go back to the idea of faith. Faith deals with things that are not explainable, right? No explanation because of the impossibility, you know. Can anybody tell me scientifically how a limb can grow just like that? You can't explain it. Can anybody scientifically explain how a person who has been dead even for a couple of days, all of a sudden comes back to life. You know, so many things. Can anybody, we talked about this once before. Can anybody explain how going to a vehicle and all of a sudden in a crash and passing through the vehicle without nothing being hurt? How can that happen? These are things that are not understandable, but we have to understand that they're a reality. They do happen, and they will happen. Yes?
I was talking to my Aunt Marcy this morning. She had a heart attack this last week, and the doctor was talking to her, which he also told me this, but he told her this morning that she could have died within the first 20 minutes of her heart attack because she had complete blockage.
Wow. Mm.
And she was stabilized. God stabilized her for 5 to 6 hours before they actually could open that up. And even in opening up, it was very difficult.
Wow.
But they got it completely open. But he sustained her for 5 to 6 hours. He said most people would die in the first 20 minutes.
Mm.
So she knows that her life is
in his hands,
and he's still got plans for her.
Amen. So. Yeah. The miraculous. God, the mystery, the mystery that we live in Christ is a miraculous mystery. We're born again. You know, some of the mysteries that happen to us is the forgiveness of sins and the transformation that takes place in the life of a believer. That's a mystery. You know, to see a person, you know, I mean, I love, you know, you all's testimony, you know, and Drew, you know, how God is transforming, not by the hand of man. Man cannot manufacture the things that God can do. They'll try, but they can't because it's a mystery. So that's why I'm talking about if we understand God, we'll understand that we can understand. If you really want to understand God, that means that God will bring you to a place to where you just have to have ultimate faith. And if you're willing to be brought to that place and accept your part in that, then God opens the door and you fulfill your destiny. But what he won't do, it's amazing the things that God has planned for us, but they that come must believe that he is. Without faith, it's impossible to please God because God does not work in the carnal. He works in the supernatural because he's a supernatural God. So a supernatural God does supernatural things. A supernatural God has supernatural thoughts. Didn't he say in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God does not lower himself to our level to help us understand. He expects us by faith to come to his level. Now, it's written in there in the scriptures, and you've heard me say this before. If it wasn't possible, it wouldn't be there. But the fact that it is in there means that it is possible. But it has to be done his way. That's why he's given us his supernatural word. That's why I harp on this, that this word is spiritual. It's supernatural. It has the ability to manifest itself in the natural and work on your behalf. That's the unique thing about the word. It's alive. It's real. It won't pass away. It will do what it says it will do. If we don't accept it, it'll be like missing a train. because the train is going. And if we don't accept it and jump on the train, it's going to go. If we try to accept it and don't get a good grip, we'll fall off the train. Many people do. So my encouragement to you today is, first, the word is a sure thing, and it gives us instructions. Even the deep things of God is there. But the conclusion of it all is it's always going to bring you to a dead end in the physical. That dead end is an open door to the spiritual. Making that transformation from operating in the natural realm to the spirit realm. That's the only way that we're going to find our destinies. That's the only way that we'll be able to continue to walk in a strong and in a positive manner without falling. Remember, we shared a couple weeks ago that if you do all these things, you will not fall or fail. So we put a high priority on His Word. We put a high priority on trust. We put a high priority on not trying to figure it out. Remember what I've been saying for the past weeks? What does God really, really want from us? Huh? Dependency. We must depend on Him. You can't depend on Him if you don't have a relationship with Him. You can't obey Him if you don't depend on Him. So you can't have one without the other. But ultimately, if we can say, God, I need You. Like a dry and thirsty land, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after You. If we can come to that place where we're honest within ourselves, God, I understand. I have no choice but to surrender to You. That's the best decision I can ever make. I need You. Then we're on our way to living. That's what it means to die to yourself. Another paradox, in dying, you live. You know? So in understanding, we won't understand, but we accept, and the mystery becomes revealed. So many scriptures that deal with revelation. So, if you make a conscious decision, Lord, I want to serve You, expect to come to a dead end, as far as the natural is concerned, to where you are willing to walk through into the supernatural. And God is there to meet you. Just like being backed up to the children, to the Red Sea. And Moses said, not a problem.
And He works everything for our good.
We have to understand those things. So then, if He works everything for our good, thank you for that comment, then we don't have to worry and we don't have to understand what comes our way, because we know He's got us. He's got our back.
He says, fear not. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For I am with you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what this coming, I'm really excited about Wednesday. We're talking about peace, but it's going to be different. So let's pray. Father, we bless You. We thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You for giving us that word, not only for our learning, but Lord, Your word fills us. Your word guides us. Your word is life to us. Lord, we give you glory and honor because there's none like you in all of the earth. Have your way in our lives, Lord, as we yield ourselves to you, heart, soul, and body. We look to you. You're the giver of life. Thank you for the privilege of serving you. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of things. The weekend.